During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale. Right.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. What that means is myself, Scott Bogman, and Casey Bubba. Follow him on the Twitter, at DDNTrick. And Casey, you know, it's Thursday night late as we're recording this, and we had two candidates that nobody actually really likes in a head-to-head battle of saying and doing nothing at all to make any type of positive change. I'm, of course, talking about the Eagles and Giants on Thursday night football. I mean, well, what's in rougher shape right now? Thursday night football with the Eagles and Giants or the country because of the two people in debate? And up for this election. I mean, come on.
Well, they say the NFL runs the world, so it might be the Eagles and the Giants. So regardless, we were all screwed on Thursday night from the hours of about 8 Eastern to 10 Eastern time, or maybe 11 Eastern. It was bad regardless.
Oh, my good God. It was so gross, this football. Now, it turned into a really good game, and we're going to break it down a little bit in the next segment, of course. But you said you were flipping back and forth because the football was so bad. You'd actually rather watch the debate. And, you know, we're not going to get political at all here.
No.
But I would rather, like, there are so many other things I would rather watch than any presidential debate. And I know that's, you know, a lot of people disagree with that sentiment and everything, but I just can't. That stuff makes me too mad, man. I can't sit and watch all of it. So
that's what happened to me. I usually never watch them at all unless I want to laugh because I know there'll be some stupid comedy to it. But like I told you earlier, it just made me more and more angry. I just turned it off and put football back on. So that's where I went.
And the game turned into a really fun one down the stretch. And, you know, our guy Boston Scott came up with a big score late. I was looking at his stats late in the fourth quarter going, come on, this guy. He's got 7 points here in PPR. This is a pathetic effort, but he turned it on. So we're going to break down this Thursday night football game, talk about Tua time in Miami as well, and then check our bets for this week's game. So be sure you are sticking with us for hour 3. It's In This League on the Sports Grid, and we'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Welcome back, everybody. In this league, on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by Casey Bubba, at BDNTrick, on the Twitter machine. And Casey, please tell everyone where they can find all of your great work that you do.
Yeah, all of it's always tweeted out many times on the Twitter, at BDNTrick, but... I'm writing my written work over at rotoballer.com right now, a little bit at Fantasy Sports Degens, but the podcast you want is Benched with Bubba. That's what I'm doing at least once a week on Sunday nights with Batflip Crazy. But every so often, I'm trying to get back to twice a week. And this past week, I had James Anderson from RotoWire on, a good friend of the Welshes for Prospect One. And he joined me. We talked over 30 first and second year players and how they might be portrayed in 2021. So I think that's a good one for you fantasy baseball diehards that can't stop getting ready for the upcoming season. But otherwise, just all kinds of other podcasts. I do check it all out over there.
Very, very nice. And I mean, how hard we're just the biggest Rays fans. Is it you and me and Jason Collette, right? Those are the biggest Rays fans in the world right now.
Yes. Big, big fans. It's pretty funny too, because I have a lot of Dodgers friends here and we joke about it. It's no big deal. But man, if you go on the Twitter streets, I'm like super villain number one to some people.
Really?
Like there's a couple of people that take it very seriously. And I'm just like, if you can't figure out I'm joking by now, I don't know why you've been hanging out and talking to me for so long. But like, I played golf at a tournament this past week with a good buddy of mine who had Dodgers shorts on. And I spent 18 holes with him and we just made fun of it. Literally the first hole, I have my Giants ball marker on the green. And he goes, I can't putt next to that. And I said, 32 years, right? Is that how far it was? 32 years? And I just got the FU and he went and putted anyways.
You know, it's fun to have those nice rivals. Welsh and I didn't really know many Dodger fans before starting ITL. So we have a couple in the Army. I think they're obviously people that understand and don't get butt hurt when we make fun of the Dodgers. Honestly, we make fun of the Diamondbacks way more than we make fun of the Dodgers.
And it's all in fun. It's like, come on, this is what rivalries are for. It's not like we're sitting here like, we'll never talk to you again. We can never be friends. We can never like hang out. Like, that's ridiculous. And by the way, one thing, I don't want to sidetrack the entire show, but if people are listening to this, they should obviously be listening to the ITL podcast throughout the week. And I tweeted it out, but like, I try not to pick sides. Obviously, I record with you every week, so you definitely are higher in favor with me most of the time. But I try to keep it pretty even with like my stepbrothers over here. And when the Welsh went on his diatribe of how he's picking the Dodgers and rooting for the Dodgers, that's just like, he's gone. He's cast away. Like, you sure are the weakest link. Goodbye.
From the guy who just said everyone should understand I'm joking. I totally get it too. I mean, he blindsided me with that, and that was the point. The whole point was to hit me hard over the head with it. And so I had, you know, no argument to come back, and I was stunned. You know, I mean, and I think what I said on that show still stands. And I think the fact that, you know, number one, the Welsh doesn't go to as many games as I do, so he doesn't have to sit that often in the sea of Dodger fans that come in during a Diamondbacks game. And number two, I was at the Dodgers game when they eliminated the Diamondbacks from the playoffs in 2017. You know, they had that fun wild card game against the Rockies. one where Archie hit the triple and everyone went nuts. Goldie had a leadoff homer in the first inning. To put us up early, that was a fun game, but that series, we got swept right out by the Dodgers. They were great that year. Probably would have won the World Series if the Astros weren't cheating. But, it was one of those things. And the funniest part about that is, yes, the Dodger fans were abundant and obnoxious. The Diamondback fans were worse. They were worse. My buddy, this guy is standing in front of my buddy, and I'm going, yeah, you're right. You took us down this rabbit hole. That's fine. I love it. Yeah. This guy stands in front of us to show us the liquor he snuck in. And my buddy, who's 6'5", by the way, says, "Hey, man, can you sit down? I can't see through. You're not a window." He's like, "Oh, my bad." And he sits down. And the guy next to him, another Diamondback fan, goes, "Why don't you relax?" And I said, "Why don't you shut up? Watch the game. You know, we don't make the playoffs all the time. We're not the Dodgers. So we're trying to enjoy this playoff game." It was during a Goldie at bat, too. So, and it's surprising to me that was the one game. I mean, until we were walking away and we heard the Dodgers fans celebrating and stuff, that hurt. Of course, but they still haven't won, like you said, 32 years.
And the thing is, like, they're a very, very good baseball team. I enjoy, like, it's like, I agree with the part where
they're well run too.
And it's hard not to root for Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger and Clay, like, they're good dudes. Like they're good ball players. But in the grand scheme of things, they have an L and an A on their hat. They're blue and they're white. And that just, I was born and raised that we just can't root for you. That's just the way it's going to go. Like, I'll say congratulations if they win it, but when they lose in six to the Rays, it is what it is.
Right. I can see. By the way, you're wearing a Giants orange shirt right now. Oh, it's Wisconsin. I'm colorblind, apparently. So I don't know. Or it's an old shirt. I can't tell. One of the two. But
smells good, at least.
Smells good. Yeah. That's all that matters. So looks good, too. So I just thought, I was like, was he golfing today? I mean, I think it's a work day. He's in that Giants shirt at the Wisconsin shirt. Oh, it was today. Okay. Nice. Yeah. No, it's a work day. Who cares? We're golfing. Yeah. We're golfing.
No big deal.
All right. So let's get back to this Thursday night football game. And, it was a fun one between the Eagles and Giants. The play was horrid in the first half. The Eagles looked to kind of be running away with it because the Giants just could not do a thing with the football. They had 5 first downs going into the first half. Danny Dimes looked horrific. The run game was non-existent. And the one great pass that Daniel Jones had was to Golden Tate for a touchdown. He had another pretty one to Evan Ingram, bounced off his hands immediately into Jalen Mills' hands, and the Eagles picked off the ball. So I thought it was admirable. I don't think I'm saying that right, but anyway, you guys know what I mean. For the Giants to come back and go up in this game. So it was they had one good drive the whole game, and it was the one that put them up. But I thought the play calling from Philly was atrocious. I thought the offensive line play, I mean, it wasn't worse than it has been all year. It was still really, really bad, but this was an ugly game all the way around, especially for the first 3 quarters. I guess what thing the Eagles wound up winning 22-21, by the way, if I haven't said that yet, but what was the one thing in this game that stood out to you positively or negatively for the Giants? Let's start there.
Well, you always need a good comedic relief, and watching Daniel Jones trip on his own feet, that's impressive. That's great stuff. Like, that pretty much summed up the game at that point in time. So that was good. I guess it was such a bad game where I don't really care who won or lost in the end. So I was looking at a fantasy standpoint and seeing Sterling Shepard return and actually have a very pivotal, he played well. That was big for me. Got a touchdown, got about 8 or 9 targets, 5 or 6 catches. Like, he was very, very formidable. So that was big. Another injury to the running back situation. So now Wayne Gallman takes over. He looked decent. He actually looked good, especially late in the game. So you have a few things you can take away from it. But, man, I thought Danny Jones was going to take a step forward this year. And I know that the Giants aren't great around, and the supporting cast is rough at times. But he just looks lost.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the overall numbers, they're not horrible. 20 of 30, 187 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. He got sacked 3 times. And he had 92 yards rushing. So that's like a Lamar Jackson kind of a stat line, but my neighbors had to have thought that they were burning a witch down here, because I was cackling so loud and so hard when Daniel Jones tripped over his own feet, because it wasn't like, it wasn't a, oh, he just went down. You saw him and you could see it on his face. He knew it like 5 yards before he actually fell, that he was running top heavy. He was running with his head over his whole body. And instead of upright, like Forrest Gump, you got to run like Forrest Gump when you're that far out. But he's so not used to being that far out in front of everybody. By the way, I love the Statcast, 21 miles per hour for Danny Dimes on that run. That's,
he,
you know,
he needed to work on his Baywatch skills. He was quite top heavy.
He was exactly. But with that, we got to hit a break. So when we come back, we'll close out this Thursday night football game and start looking at the rest of week 7. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We're also on the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. And the Welsh, the Bubba and I at BDEntric on the Twitter, at Boxing Sports for me. We're talking about this Thursday night football game. We talked about the Giants side. The Eagles side, you know, the end of the day, Carson Wentz, a lot like Danny Dimes. Good line here. 25 of 43. Completion percentage a little wonky, but 359 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. The run game was almost non-existent for them. I mean, Boston Scott grinded out 46 yards on 12 rushes. Huntley ran 2 times for 13 yards. Deshaun had a rush. He got hurt, by the way. He might be done for good.
Yeah,
that did not look fun. Boston Scott had a nice night receiving, 3 for 46 in the big game-winning touchdown. This is interesting because we know Ertz is out. Yeah. Goddard might be coming back next week, so this might be, and I had Richard Rodgers in a couple leagues and didn't start him because I had Tanyan, but he had 8 targets, 6 catches for 85 yards. Fulgham, 11 targets, 5 catches for 73. Boston Scott caught the touchdown. Greg Ward had a touchdown as well. But this offense, I feel like not only is it the bad offensive line play, we know that the offensive line is bad, and they're not going to get much better. I mean, Lane Johnson is doing his damnedest to stay out on the field. You know, there's no way he should have started this game. He played as hard as he could and then got a knee injury to tack on top of that ankle injury. But some of the play calling has been so bad for this team. Like, if Doug Peterson hadn't won a Super Bowl, this is a game where if I'm the owner of the Eagles, I'm firing him immediately. The Giants were pathetic tonight, and they almost won. They probably should have won.
Yeah.
There's a couple bad penalties at the end of the game. I mean, that Bradbury PI was garbage. That should not have been called. But like running the ball with Jalen Hurts, throwing screen passes on third and six in your own territory, running trick plays when your offense has had no steam at all. These are rookie coach mistakes that you shouldn't have from a Super Bowl winning veteran. So I think I'm going to put the bad performance for the Eagles more on Doug Peterson than I am on the offensive line woes and Carson Scott. What do you think about that call?
Yeah, does Peterson think he's, you know, the Saints and you got Taysom Hill or something? Like, the play calling blew my mind because I hate it when the Saints do it. And, like, I don't mind if they want to give Jalen Hurts some run, but give him run. Don't bring him into the gadget. Like, that's just – that's silly talk there. So that was annoying. The play calling, yeah, was really atrocious. The O-line's bad, and like, you got to give a little bit there, like you were saying. But at the same time, you're setting these guys up for failure with the way things were going. I think they should be glad they snuck out of this one with the W, their second one of the season. And Wentz got it done. He made some great throws. That throw to Boston Scott was impressive. It was perfect, like literally on a dime. That was great, but it's just tough because you mentioned Goddard's coming back. That could be good, but you know, Rodgers played well. Fulgham had a good game. He had 11 targets, only 5 catches. So, like, efficiency, not the greatest. It's not his fault, most likely. But it's just a bad, bad team playing another bad team, and they've happened to win by 1 point. That's about the best I can say about it.
Right, right. So moving forward, if Miles Sanders has to miss next week too, what is your confidence level in starting a guy like Boston Scott? Let me see who the Eagles next week. They have the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, start him.
Monday Night Football.
Start him. That defense might be worse than their own line.
It is. I mean, like, I'll vouch for that.
You're going to stack either tight end, Rodgers or Goddard. Fulgham's going to get his action. Scott's great. Ward might even be worth a shot to look. Like, this is disgusting already. Can we move on? It's the same way. They're playing the Washington football team, and I'm sitting there with Kyle Allen, McLaurin. Like, I'm just going through all these guys, and I'm like, oh, no, this is disgusting. This is,
dude, I don't – I'm in a couple leagues where I have an okay quarterback or something, I'm actually going to start Kyle Allen because that.
I literally told someone, hit me up on Twitter again if you want to hit me up. I'll help you out, answer questions the best I can. But somebody asked me, with the COVID issues with the Raiders, do you risk it with Carr, or would you play Kyle Allen? I said, COVID or no COVID, I play Kyle Allen in his matchup versus the Cowboys instead of Carr. That was me. I know we talked about it even last season with the Panthers. Allen's not great. We're not going to say that, but he's a usable quarterback. Like, when you need him, and in a matchup like against the Cowboys, I don't see what the big deal is.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, people don't want to start Kyle Allen because he's Kyle Allen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I know people want to bench Tannehill because they're playing Pittsburgh this week. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to start Kyle Allen. Tannehill's too hot.
Yes.
Well, look, we all know you write him love letters and, you know, his home address, and you want to start a life with him and everything. We get it, Bubba. You like...
When we talk next Thursday and you're wearing the L from Tannehill, it's going to be so great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll see. We'll see. Look, the Titans have been playing great, but, you know, the Titans are using this, this whole, the COVID, everyone's mad at us, blah, blah, blah. Well, how about they made us take our bye in week 4 for the Steelers? Yeah. So let's go get them. Let's go get him.
That's the Patriots made the Dolphins take a bye this week, so we get Tua time a week early.
That's right. That's right. Tua time. Well, let's talk about that. So Ryan Fitzpatrick says he's heartbroken over being benched. And, you know, it sucks to see it for a guy that has played pretty well this year. He's got your Dolphins, in a playoff spot right now, I think. So they're playing well and they're functioning on offense with, you know, look, Parker's good. I like Preston Williams. I like Mike Gesicki. The offensive line is still, a work in progress, I would say. And I like Myles Gaskin, but I don't think he's your long-term solution at running back. I was a little surprised to see Tua get in the game last week. Of course, it was a romp. I mean, you're pounding the Jets into the ground, which you love to see it. You know what I mean? You love to see Adam Gase just get hammered into the ground. We love that. But, the offensive line still, I think, allows the least amount of time for Fitzpatrick to get rid of the ball. Now, he's a vet. and Tua's coming off the hip. So I'm not too worried. I think if Tua wasn't healthy, they wouldn't put him in there. So I think he's healthy. But, you know, we've seen bad stuff happen to him before. So I'm a little surprised they're going to him this quick, but I'm all about it. You know, look, you gotta hand the reins over to the guy you picked fourth overall at some point. We knew it was going to happen this year at some point. And the bye week is the most logical spot if you're not doing it late in the year. So I think this makes sense. And I also don't understand why Fitzpatrick was so surprised. This has happened to him a million times when they took Tua fourth overall. He knew it was going to come down at some point this year. So I was a little surprised that he was surprised, but he has been playing well. So your thoughts on your Dolphins heading towards Tua time here.
Well, Fitzpatrick was surprised because no one told him it was leaked. He found out how we all found out. Like, he was probably just chilling at home or something. And then he found out the hard way. That's why he was like, because he said the right things the whole time every week leading up to this. I'm here to get things ready. I'm here to teach Tua. I'm here to like all these things. And he even said it towards the end of his interview on the situation. But he thought he deserved more respect than that. I agree he did. I thought he's been playing good enough football to get blindsided like that. I agreed. And that's why Flores is really ticked off, because he's trying to find the leak. He said there's a leak in our locker room and he wants to know who they are. Like, Flores is ticked. And so that's a whole other thing, which makes me concerned, because I thought the Dolphins were getting running the right way. And that leaves a little to be desired. But to the situation that you asked about, I like Fitzpatrick. I thought it was early for Tua. But again, if they're bringing him in, he's ready. The idea right. was after the bye week, which was supposed to be week 10 or 11 until the Patriots screwed all that up. But so it came a little earlier now. It's going to be fine, but it's one of those that Fitzpatrick, I hope he's, you know, he can have his little downtime here, but then start getting ready to go. Because if Tua's not ready or something, God forbid, happens, he needs to be ready to keep going, because his team can make the playoffs. So keep it going in the right direction. But I'm excited to see Tua. I really am. It just sucks because I like Fitzpatrick. I had a little, not a Tannehill love for Fitzpatrick, but I appreciate this guy.
Not a Tannehill love for Fitzpatrick. All right. I mean, if you say so, you know, I think you might have a Tannehill love for Fitzpatrick. But I mean, we had Sigmund Bloom on last week and he was just talking him up. I'm sure you enjoyed that. Let's get one game in here before we hit the break. We got about a minute and a half. Let's go Detroit at Atlanta. Atlanta is favored by 2. The over is 55.5. Bubba, what are you taking in that game?
Detroit at Atlanta. I'm going to take Detroit in this one because, yes, Atlanta got it done last week with the new coach and play and all that good stuff. But I think the Detroit team is actually a lot better than them. So I'll take Detroit, and I'll take the over in this one, as Matty Stafford and Matt Ryan will have some fun this weekend.
If I set the over-under on touches for DeAndre Swift at 15.5.
I'll take the over. I was going to say 15, so I'll take the over because I think they really do want to start getting him the football, and they should really want to get him the football. So give me the over on that.
You know what makes me want to do more prop bets this year, now that I just saw you just shrink when I said 15.5? He just shrugged his shoulders, everybody, because we can see each other while we're doing this. He was like, ah, like I can hear it.
The number on top of my head was 15 the whole time. He said 15.5. Like, I can't take the under on that.
You said Detroit and the over, correct?
Detroit and the over.
All right. Well, we are going to be right back after this break with all of the action for week 7, all the rest of the action for week 7. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Follow us on the Twitter at Fox Sports. Me at the Entrance. for Bubba at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. Bubba and I are going over these bets for week 7. We took Detroit in the over on the very first one. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Cleveland is favored by 3.5. 50.5 is the over. The big question here, Bubba, is are you burned from Mr. Burrow the other week not hitting against the spread? Or are you going to be betting for Mr. Burrow again because you do have a major, major man crush on this guy?
Well, last time I checked, Mr. Burrow got back in the right column after the Ravens game. So we're in the positive there. So he's only got one loss against the spread this year. So I think I'm justified in my man crush. But we're going to go with Mr. Burrow, plus 3.5. You can actually take Cincinnati to win outright in this one if you'd like. I think they're going to win at home. You won't see the escalator of shame on this one. But with the issues with the Baker Mayfield and company, give me a Cincy, plus 3.5, and give me the over. We saw these guys shoot it out on Thursday Night Football. There's going to be some points in this game.
I went Cincy, but I did take the under because I think Baker Mayfield's banged up. OBJ hasn't been playing well. Landry's got the ribs. Chubb is out. So I took the under in this one, but I also went with Cincinnati, and I went with Cincinnati straight up as
yes,
well.
I like
so
it.
Very, very nice pick. Carolina at New Orleans. New Orleans by 7.5. 51 is the over in that game.
It's the tough one, but I'm going to go Carolina plus 7.5. I think they'll keep it within a touchdown in this one, and I'll take the over because I think Carolina's offense can do enough to keep scoring. Give me like a 31-24 type football game.
You can take Carolina on the road against New Orleans, and the Saints are coming off a bye.
Yes. Yes, I am. I actually am going to do that. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure. I'm trying to convince you to come over to my side. I took New Orleans in the under. I think they're going to be prepped for this game. And Michael Thomas may still not play. Like, this isn't a disciplinary thing, but I don't know. Alvin Kamara everywhere in DFS this week. That's what I'll say.
All the Kamara, and then I think Carolina stacks in play, but you don't like Carolina. I do.
Really? That's just,
I like what they're doing there. I like Teddy B. I like Anderson and Moore. I'm a fan of what they got going on there.
I like them too, but what I'll say is I don't like them on the road against a divisional opponent coming off a bye.
There's not 50,000 fans in New Orleans like usual.
There's not, but I still... So the home field advantage may be less, but they're still playing the Saints coming off a bye, and the Saints are a better team. Buffalo at the New York Jets. This line moved a lot, actually. It's Buffalo by 12. It was 13.5 earlier. So apparently money has been going towards the Jets for some ungodly reason.
Arnold's back, everybody.
Yeah. 45 is the over. Where are you going in this game?
I am going far away from this game because I have to pick a team. I said all that trash, but I'm going to take the Jets plus 12. Oh. Like this is horrible. Just don't bet this game, please. Give me Jets plus 12 and give me the under 45.
All right. I went Buffalo in the over. I think this is where we get Josh Allen to get out of his slump. But Pisapia also took the Jets, so I'm not surprised. That's a big spread for the NFL.
It's too big where, you know, Buffalo, they run the clock so much, you know, a fumble here or there. It's just, I'll take the Jets, but it's not a game I'm confident in at all.
Josh Allen has not looked good recently either, no. So I understand it, but I can't. They just got smacked by your Dolphins 24-0. Couldn't put a point up. I hate the Jets, but I'm with you. This is a tough one to bet. Dallas. On the road against the Washington football team. I almost said it. Dallas by 146 is the over. And look, I think you're going to see a lot of what you saw on Thursday Night Football in this game too, because the NFC East is patheticsville this year. It is awful. So who wins this game, and are you going over or under here?
I'm going to go over 46. And now for the fifth straight game, the dogs are barking. Give me Washington plus 1, so AK Washington outright. The Red Rifle, it's not going to go well for him. Riverboat Ron gets the W in Washington.
This is going to be a dicey week for you and me. We're on one over under the same.
Beautiful.
It was Detroit and Atlanta. You are better.
break.
You're better than I am this year on over-unders, but...
we don't need to talk about last week. It's cool.
Yeah, last week wasn't great. I'll just throw that out there. But and I was 500 last week, so we'll see if I can get back to five. Last 3 weeks, I'm one game under, so I haven't been terrible, but for the season, I'm not great. Green Bay is on the road against the Texans. They are favored by 3.5 points in that one, Bubba. Where do you see that one going at 57, the biggest over of the week?
First off, we'll take the over because neither team's going to play great defense. Green Bay's defense isn't bad, but Houston will put up points. We've seen that.
We're on two over-unders this week together.
We'll take the over on this one. I'm really looking forward to this game for DFS and many other purposes. But Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, I don't know about you guys, but when you get embarrassed on national TV like that, I'd hate to be Houston. And their defense is very bad. Tannehill just split them apart. Green Bay is going to win this by at least a touchdown. So Green Bay -3.5.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I like what Houston's doing since Bill O'Brien's gone. They're playing better, but angry Aaron Rodgers you don't want to face. So hopefully you can get someone like Nadekum Sue. Maybe J.J. Watt gets in his face or something. But I think those guys are probably buddies. Pittsburgh at Tennessee in the COVID makeup game. Tennessee by 1.5. 50.5 is the over in that one.
Give me the over 50.5. I think it's going to be a very fun kind of back and forth. I can see both like a 35-31 type game or something. But give me Tennessee at home. I think it's a really tight game. Like I was giving you a hard time earlier. I would not be shocked if Pittsburgh won this game. I guess it should be a really tight game where kind of last team with the ball wins type thing. Yeah. Give me Tennessee. Give me the over.
It's a coin flip game. I'm good with starting a lot of these guys in DFS on both sides because Tennessee matches up well with Pittsburgh. Tannehill, number one against pressure. Pittsburgh brings the most pressure, so they should still be scoring. I'm with you. And no one can stop Derrick Henry. Doesn't matter. So how about the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Chargers? 7.5 is the spread in the Chargers' favor, and 49 is the over on that one.
I really don't like taking this big of a spread, but give me Herbert -7.5. I like the kid. He's legit. I was not a big fan of his in the draft, at least not. I thought he'd take more time to develop. He's been awesome. This Jacksonville defense is not great. Give me the Chargers big, and I'll take the over because Minshew will kind of backdoor the over somehow, but Chargers in the over.
Minshew has looked pretty bad recently.
Fantasy numbers, man. He's been at least a QB, like the QB 11 through 13 in all but one game this year, that Thursday night game.
Yeah, the Jerome Robinson has also gone way downhill. So I think since that Thursday night game, he's still putting up decent fantasy numbers, like you said.
Garbage time.
Yeah. Garbage time for Minshew for sure. But that's all he's been good at. Kansas City on the road against the Denver Broncos. They're 9.5-point favorites. This one slipped a little bit too. 45.5 is the over in that game. How do you see that one going?
Over 45.5. I'm taking way too many overs this week. Over 45.5, but give me Denver +9.5 at home. Kansas City's been good, but they've shown some weaknesses here and there. Divisional game. Denver coming off that big win against New England. They'll cover 9.5.
You have one under, by the way, so far.
And that's Buffalo. Not positive here.
Buffalo and the Jets. This one looks like a patheticsville game. The Niners on the road against the Patriots. Patriots are favored by 2.5. That's actually bumped up from 1.5. 43.5. Neither one of these teams looked great last week. What do you think? Well, I mean, the Niners won, but what do you think on that one?
I'm going to take New England -2.5 and give me the under 43.5 on this one. I think it's an ugly game back and forth. They'll take Kittle out of it, so Garoppolo won't know what to do with himself. Give me the New England and the under.
This one I'm running away from. I don't want any part of betting this game at all. New England could show up and throw for 1 million yards. Cam Newton could be great. Jimmy Garoppolo could be on fire and zipping balls to Debo and Ayuk and all those guys and Kittle, obviously, or this could be 10-3 and I wouldn't be shocked. So I'm running away from this game. I do not want any part of it. Tampa Bay and the Raiders at the Raiders. This one got unflexed. This was a Sunday night football game and they bumped Arizona Seattle to Sunday night football because there's some COVID issues. I don't know. I don't think flexing was available quite yet. Maybe it was, but I think this was done more because the Raiders have a couple of COVID issues. And, the NFL missed Thursday night football last week. They don't want to miss Sunday night football. No more primetime misses for them at all. But 4.5, Tampa Bay's favored on the road in Vegas. 52.5 is the over. How do you see that one going, Bob?
Tampa Bay and the under. With no offensive line for the Raiders, you just could get ugly in a hurry. Tampa Bay under.
I think they'll get some of those guys back. It's still, I think it's early enough in the week for them to get some negative tests and stuff. So hopefully the Raiders get some of those guys back and they're not all patchwork. But I took Tampa Bay also. So, I mean, I just think they're the better team anyway. The Sea Chickens on the road against the Desert Chickens in the Cardinals. Seattle by 3.5 is the spread, 55.5. This is a lot of people. I mean, what's game of the week here, Bub? Is it this game or is it Pittsburgh and Tennessee? Because those are the two that have been mentioned as game of the week.
Pittsburgh, Tennessee has a playoff feel to it. So I'd say game of the week there. Seattle, Arizona should be a pure video game. Awesome. Yeah.
It should be a lot of fun. It's Seattle by 3.5, 55.5. How do you see that one going?
Seattle in the over. This is going to be one of those. It's going to be fun back and forth. But, you know, Kyler's been shown a little too much weakness at times. So Seattle over.
I think the Monday Night Football game sucks. Is the most interesting betting game of the week. Yeah, I'm glad I'm doing Monday Night Football with Bogman on our Patreon as well, so I can have other people to enjoy this miserable game with, just like I did Thursday Night Football. It's always a lot of fun. We just talk about whatever's happening. We do some starts and sits. You know, Monday night, we do more waiver pickups. We talk about that during the game and stuff. We talk about TV shows, whatever comes up. You know, it's a lot of fun. But this game, Chicago at the Rams. The Rams are favored by 6. 44.5 is the over. I think picking this game is one of the most difficult ones of the week. What are you going with here?
It is very tricky, but I'll take the Rams minus 6, and I'm going to take the under in this game. Very ugly game. Rams probably win it by 10, but it's nothing pretty at all.
Yeah, I said do not bet this game at all. This is not a game I would touch, and I know a lot of people are. You're trying to make up your money on Monday. Save the Sunday night game for that. Because I'm with Bubba, Seattle in the over on that game. So I'm with you on that one. I am completely opposite with you on this Monday night football game. It's not because I don't like the Rams. I really like the Bears defense. I think the Bears play great defense. That's why I also have the over, because I think the Rams are going to score a little bit. I think the Bears can score two on this Rams defense. You know, as long as Foles can avoid Aaron Donald most of the night, you know, we know Aaron Donald's going to get his. He's probably going to get his two or, you know, maybe even three sacks. But if he doesn't bury Foles on one of those and he stays upright, I think the Bears can pull this game off. Straight up, I think they could pull this game off.
It makes for a wild Monday night if it happens.
I would not bet it. Like I said, I wouldn't bet it, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bears win this game. I think a lot of people disrespecting the Bears and their 5-1 record. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to play some Endless Love, end it out, and get Bubba's 3-team parlay. We'll be right back after this break. It's In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. Endless Love playing. You guys know what that means. It is the end of the 3-hour tour here for In This League on the Sports Grid. Please follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports for myself, at BDentry for Bubba, and at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. And please check out the ITL Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. The Welsh has got, he's putting together for November. He's already got his updated minor league ranks, and he's got initial baseball rankings as well. I do Thursday night football and Monday night football streams most weeks. We got 2 to 3 secret shows a month for you up there. answer questions for football all the time. You have GroupMe room access with us. You can ask us questions whenever you want, plus get everybody else's opinion who's in there. A lot of fantasy nerds like us in there. It's a lot of fun to enjoy. So, Bubba, your three-team parlay this week, what's it going to look like?
Cincinnati plus 3.5 because they win that one outright. Yeah, you never thought you'd see the Bengals in a parlay, but here we are. Green Bay, Houston over 57.
Green Bay, Houston over. I'm writing it down as you're going.
Over 57. And then Tennessee, Pittsburgh over 50.5.
Tennessee, Pittsburgh over 50.5. All right. So it's Cincinnati plus 3.5. Green Bay, Houston over, which is the biggest of the week at 57. And then 50.5 in the Pittsburgh, Tennessee game. You want the over in that. Those are some good ones. I like those overs in particular. And everyone's been better than me on over-unders this year, which is funny because I'm doing okay in my fantasy leagues, which is weird because you'd think if you're missing game script and hitting over and under, you're probably not playing fantasy well. But I'm 5-1 and 4-2 in majority of my leagues.
Hey, so, Terry McLaurin's a good fantasy player. The football team still stinks.
Yeah, exactly. Very true. Very true. So, you take what you can get. I'll take any silver lining in 2020 I can possibly get. It's so effed up. I hate this year. Let's get to January, everybody. Let's just get there. That is going to wrap it up for us. We will see you guys next week. I hope you guys win all your fantasy leagues, all your bets, all that stuff. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you next Saturday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
During the Right Rug Flooring Anniversary Sale, we're celebrating 91 years of the guaranteed lowest prices. With beautiful carpet with a lifetime stain warranty starting at $219 a square foot installed with pad. And luxury vinyl starts at $399 a square foot installed. Unbeatable prices and 24-month special financing available with approved credit. Schedule a free in-home appointment with our flooring experts at RITERUG.com. Right Rug Flooring's Anniversary Sale.
Right.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.